Radix Copycast. I'm Emily, Radix's research and marketing executive, and today I'm joined by Fiona, who's our MD and lead copywriter here at Radix.
Hello.
We're also delighted to welcome graphic designer Tim Hendy of TH Studio for this episode.
Hi.
Before we start, I'd like to make you aware that we're currently running a listener survey, which we'd really appreciate you taking just a few minutes to fill out. The link for the survey will be available on the blog at radix-communications.com in this episode's notes. In this episode, we're going to be discussing how designers and copywriters can work more productively together, from why designers and copywriters are working together more, to what steps both parties can take to ensure that the relationship results in astounding copy and design. First today, I was hoping that Tim and Fiona would discuss why it is more important than ever for designers and copywriters to work together. Fiona?
I think we should probably start by making it clear that we're talking specifically about B2B marketing copywriters, which is the area that we work in, and we work more specifically within the technology industry. So I know that in other areas of marketing and advertising, designers and copywriters already work very closely together. So if you're looking at advertising agencies, your designer or your art director, as it is, and your copywriter are practically joined at the hip. They kind of mate for life. They form these teams and work very closely together. Whereas for us in B2B technology, marketing, copywriting, it's all quite new, because traditionally, as copywriters in this sector, there hasn't been an awful lot of design element involved in what we do. Kind of in the old days of what we now call content marketing, we were generally writing white papers and case studies that were very text heavy. There wasn't very much of a design element there at all. The kind of inspiration was, oh, you know, we need to make this look like an article from the Harvard Business Review, or, you know, if we were feeling quite wacky, The Economist. So there wasn't an awful lot of thinking about how is this going to look on the page, because on the page it was just going to really look like a newspaper article. So that's all changing now, and the kind of content marketing explosion is kind of upon us, and there's an awful lot of experimentation going on. There's an awful lot of new, much more visual formats being kind of explored and pioneered and experimented with. So that's why we're finding that we're having to, for the first time really, work very closely with designers to make sure that what we're writing looks really good in whatever format it is that we're writing for.
I think you can almost condense your copy and bring out key points using design much easier. You can bring out, obviously, we have sort of pull quotes and facts and figures and what have you, but it can make the read easier for the person going through the narrative. I think they can navigate easier, they can see key points quicker, there's a lot more speed of delivery with what they're reading and what they're getting through, and I think potentially the message is getting to them a lot quicker.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. And, you know, working with you, because we've worked with you quite a lot now.
Yes.
on various projects, you know, we're really starting to think about who is going to be looking at this, what format are they going to be looking at it in, what kind of screen are they going to be reading it on, and therefore, how do we need to kind of arrange the copy on the page, and what do we need to pull out and emphasise in order for you to do the best job of making it not just look nice, but also make it really digestible and accessible and readable.
I mean, traditionally, as designers, when we've had copy through, we will read it, and obviously we do better work the more we understand what we're designing and the copy we're using. But we would read through, we would look for sort of key points that we could then, through design, bring out, you know, so the usual facts and figures and quotes and what have you, and to enhance the page and to bring more pace to the page. Obviously, with what you guys do, it's very, very technical, so it's better for us to work closely with you so we can understand more effectively what you're trying to say, so we can hopefully pull the right things out. But if we work together, obviously you know through design that I'm going to want to bring some of these elements out on the page, and to suggest that makes life easier, I think, and helps tremendously.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's great that you're obviously based locally, close to us, and so we can work together, we can get together and go through things quite easily. And one of the challenges that we have with some of the other projects that we work on is that we work with a lot of marketing agencies, and they outsource the copywriting to us, or we're their kind of copywriting partner. And they're quite far away, and they have, maybe they have designers on premise with them, or maybe they're also working with third party designers. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of working almost with three different organisations creating the content. And then you've got the end client there as well. So you've kind of got four different organisations. We're not geographically in the same place. So we've got to find these kind of ways of, you know, working together and working out how each other likes to work, and, you know, what processes we need to put in place. And it's not always easy. And I know that sometimes we have frustrations with designers, and I'm sure that you have equally have frustrations with copywriters if you're not used to working together.
And clients occasionally.
And clients, of course, yeah. So I know that kind of traditionally copywriters have tended to view designers as, you know, they don't like to they don't like the words, you know, they don't like to see the words on the page. They want to sort of crowd out the words and make the design kind of centre stage.
I think when you talk about people being based in various locations, I think the most important thing is to make sure that you all have the same vision. And especially when it's a large company that has a lot of, you know, strong corporate values, that you're all communicating the same values. It's very easy as designers for us to sometimes ignore these things and go off of what we think looks nice, but actually completely ignores, you know, the core values of the business we're trying to communicate. You know, you can't make one business that sells dog food like they sell cat food. it's that sort of thing, really, and a better understanding and a shared goal, shared vision.
Yeah. So do you think, you know, from your experience, what are the risks? You know, if the designer and the writer can't work well together, what do you think the risks are? Or what kind of impact does that have on the project if there's, you know, not this kind of level of understanding and shared vision?
I think it's obviously, as a, you know, things can be overwritten.
Mm-hmm.
You can have quite unwieldy copy that is maybe too long for the design you're working with. And actually, I think if you share your thoughts as a design with the copywriters and you get on and you can discuss it, you can see that the level of space that's being worked to, and you're not trying to shoehorn in lots of text, or the other way around, you've not got too little text and you're trying to fill an expanse of page. I think it's just much better to share these things, and to hopefully when you're doing page plans and layouts, you know, I think when I receive copy from you, that you know pretty much how I'm going to lay something out for a particular client, and you know the sort of the grids I'm working with, so you know that you can give me a set of copy that will work well over that space. I mean, I don't think we talk about word counts, but I think we've got a pretty good idea between us what will fit on the page.
So I mean, that leads on to another thing which is quite common, which is, you know, what should come first? Should it be the design and the layout, or should it be the copy? And, you know, depending on the project that we're working on, it seems to be, you know, sometimes one way around and sometimes the other way around.
Yes.
So sometimes we're writing to a set format or a set template or a set wireframe, which a lot of copywriters don't like that idea. They think, oh, the words should come first, you know, and the design subsidiary. But I quite like that. You know, I quite like being told, you know, you've got this space. It makes it easier for me.
It's structure, isn't it? Yeah. It adds structure to what you're doing. I guess with the B2B technology side, then I think it helps that the copy comes first. Because obviously you're writing the copy for a client, and then I'm doing the design with you for said client, and I think that you have an innate understanding of what they do, and then it's good for me to come in and pick your brains following that. Obviously with other areas of copy, when you're doing general marketing and what have you, then sometimes you're formulating a brand, it's better when you have an idea, and yeah, as a designer we tend to have an idea of the tone and what we want the brand to represent, and obviously we've done some initial design work, and then we can brief a copywriter to work to those values. But the more technical stuff, I think it's much better to be able to pick your brains about it and make sure we understand.
Yeah. Do you think that kind of a personal rapport is really important when you're working with a copywriter? You kind of have to understand that person as a person, you know, the way they think as well as...
I think so, but I think that's true with all the clients we work with, really. I mean, we've always found that we like repeat business, and we like to get on, and we like to be a little bit informal, because I know there's a fine line between being over familiar with a client, but I think that the better you get on, the more you get out of the job, and the more you understand each other, and you know that you're both trying to do the same thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think the more that we've worked together, the more we've kind of come to understand how each other works, and the projects seem to be going smoother than maybe they did at the beginning. So yeah, I think it is important. Yeah,
I think it's all very well to have an idea of what a process should be for a job, but until you live test it, and I think that the process is then sort of honed over time, really.
Yeah. So I know that one of the challenges that we have as we sort of move into this more visual way of marketing is that where we have a direct relationship with a client, where we're not working through an agency, the client's very much looking to us for advice on what format to use for a particular piece of content, you know, how should it look. And not having a background in design and really an appreciation of design, we can struggle to do that. And I know, Tim, that's where we kind of look to you to help us give some guidance to the client. don't know if you can talk a little bit about how you as a designer can help copywriters to guide the client in terms of how the finished product should look.
Well, I think once the copy's come through, and myself as a designer, I've read it, and we know the tone of voice of this client we've worked with previously. We get a lot of clients that will then supply various graphical things for, say, ebooks or white papers, whatever they're doing, and some of them can be difficult to add into a layout. You know, you can have a layout which is really clean, and you can have a graphic which is so small you can't read any of the text on it, and you've got this great copy which is really clear and concise and leads you through, which we then built into a layout which is, if you think, follows that, which is clear and concise and provides quite an easy read. To then have a really complicated diagram or something, then it's, as designers, if we can feed back on that to you guys and then hopefully get across what we want it to be, because obviously, especially with diagrams and infographics, there's an amount of copy there, and there's also an understanding of the topic that we need, which is why you guys are so important, because sometimes it's very difficult to translate what the client is trying to say in a diagram or something similar.
So I think what you're saying is that it really needs to be a partnership between the writer and the designer. Because sometimes we've operated where, you know, we've got the client and then we're the copywriters and then we're subcontracting, I guess, to the designer. So we're kind of the middleman in the chain. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think we really need to have an approach where we are, you know, strategic partners.
With the designer. An integrated approach.
We go in together and talk to the client.
Yes. I guess when you, if there's yourselves as copywriters, and then there's a separate entity as a designer that's subcontracted, and there's not a lot of discussion through, there's always room for things to be lost in translation. Yeah. And that's when we say about the, you know, the client, copywriter and designer, and the designer then going back to the client, maybe bypassing the copywriter in that type of relationship, then there's room for error, I think.
Yeah.
I think it makes the process much longer and potentially frustrating for the client.
Yeah, and I think this is where one of the main risks lies, is that if you're kind of working in that format, then that's where you get a lot of rework creeping in, and projects go on for much longer than they were intended to. You start missing deadlines, not necessarily through anybody's fault, but just because you haven't got, you're not all talking together.
Mm-hmm. How do you draw the line under it? How do you know when to stop? Yeah. I mean, we've discussed rounds of amends and things here. How do you know when's enough is enough?
Yeah, exactly.
I say ultimately, I think the client could lose confidence as well, because it's a really disjointed way of doing things. I think, like we'd say, a more integrated approach, better understanding, and the client gets a better job for it, that communicates what they need to communicate more effectively.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that what we're going to see is copywriters in our sector of the industry. I mean, there are a few agencies like us, but a lot of the copywriters are freelancers operating on their own. So I think what we're probably going to start seeing is maybe agencies hiring designers, but certainly a lot more partnerships being forged between agencies and between freelancers and designers to get that sort of coherent approach to present to the client.
Yes, I think it's the way things are going. There's a lot of collaboration going on there, with designers and photographers and copywriters and illustrators and, you know, web developers and all sorts of things, really. And the more integrated and closely they work, you know, they may be separate businesses, but the smoother the job should go.
And that's a really good point that you just brought up, because we're not just working on projects that require graphic design, but because of this whole kind of experimentation explosion that's going on at the moment, you know, we're working on comics projects, we're working on video projects, we're working on animated infographics, so it requires a whole lot of different design skills that aren't necessarily found in one person, so there needs to be quite a bit of different, you know, collaborations being forged. It's really interesting.
And relationships are important. I mean, there's got to be a level of trust there, because if you've gone out and sourced a client, or a client you've worked with for X amount of years, to introduce another company to them, some people would be potentially not keen on that. So you have to work with someone you can trust, that you know that the relationship is strong enough that issues that they approach the client directly aren't going to come up, and they, you know, you're the key client contact, that sort of thing, I guess.
For the last discussion in this episode, I was hoping we could provide some tips for how designers and copywriters can work together better. Fiona?
Yes, and I think, again, in this section, when we say copywriters, we're talking about either copywriters in agencies like Radix here, where we don't have any in-house designers, so we're always working with designers externally. Or indeed, because in our industry, a lot of the copywriters are freelancers who are working on their own and who maybe haven't worked with a designer before at all. I mean, I know up until a couple of years ago, in my job as a copywriter, I would write the copy and send it off, and that would be the last I saw of it. There was no kind of collaboration with any designers. And literally a couple of years ago, I think I worked on my first ebook project, and the agency that I'd written the copy for sent back this beautifully designed PDF and said, "Here it is, Fiona, what do you think?" And literally I had no way, I had no idea how to give feedback. I didn't know that you could put little sticky notes on a PDF to say, well, you know, there's a sentence truncated here, or this needs to be moved over here. So I think it might be good, Tim, to talk about just those basics of if you're a copywriter and you haven't really worked with a designer before, what is the best way of kind of working with them, of giving feedback and getting towards a finished product that everyone's happy with?
Yeah, I think giving feedback and talking through amends can be really, really difficult. I personally find it difficult sometimes when you have a Word document with the amends you can find and track them. I find that quite confusing because I'm not sure, am I replacing the, you know, if it's a 50-page document, am I replacing all the text? Or do I have to go through and find which pieces of text to change? Mm. And that can be quite laborious, and I think there's a lot of room for error. I think, as you mentioned, the PDF with the sticky notes is fantastic because it's visual. And I think that's the thing with designers, we are visual people. The more obvious you can make it, the better, particularly when it's a very sort of technical subject. And with the greatest will in the world, we understand to a point, but if it's someone you've worked with for several years and you know the subject completely, it's a PDF marked up is great. We use a system also for websites called Onnotate, where we'll upload a website and send the link to the client, then go on, and similar to the sticky notes, really, they can draw little boxes around things and they can feedback on individual elements. So we don't get an email back saying, can you move the blue box to the left? And we go to the screen and there's four blue boxes and I don't know which one you mean. So the more visual you can send the amends back, the better, without us having to reflow copy. That really, really helps and really speeds things up.
Yeah, and I think the whole reflowing copy thing is really important, as you say, and we now try to get to a process whereby we have the copy completely signed off before it goes into the PDF design, because, you know, we found that a bit of a nightmare when, you know, the copy's not fully signed off, it goes into the PDF, and then the client sends it around to various other people within the organisation, everyone comes back with more copy amends, and then it all has to be redone. So, yeah, I think that's one. If there was one tip that I was going to give, it would be get the copy signed off before the designer starts work. I mean, there's going to be little tweaks here and there, but if you can get the majority of it signed off, that's great. But I just wondering if you use other techniques like screen sharing with writers as well to sort of get to, you know, what needs to be changed faster?
Yeah, we do use screen sharing. We use Skype a lot. I mean, we use it more for talking through designs, I guess, conceptual level for other projects, and particularly if obviously we've got clients that aren't local, sort of national, international clients. We find that's really, really helpful. We tend to use Skype a lot anyway for communicating with clients. It can be just really, really helpful just for sometimes, you know, you'll get a little query and I can write a really long email and not get to the point, but when I can do a quick screen grab or share the screen quickly or write a quick message on Skype, again, it just makes the process so much smoother. I think that's the goal, really, is to get the ultimate process where you can pick a job up, write the copy, pass it to the designer, get a draft back, make some amends, get another draft back, sign it off, job finished. That's the promised land.
Yeah. Do you find that sometimes writers don't really understand the process that you go through to create a design document? And sometimes we might kind of inadvertently ask you to do things that are really difficult and laborious just because we don't understand what the process is of what you have to do.
But potentially, I think one of the things is sometimes we use placeholder graphics or placeholder copy, and I guess there's things we're aware of that aren't correct or need to be replaced. I tend to mark them up with a pink note, and I've worked with people in the past and all their feedback has been all the things with pink notes saying that they're not right. There seems to be a pink note on this. So I think obviously a closer relationship, knowing how each other works, helps. And you know when you're using a dummy graphic, or you know there's a graphic to come and you've allowed for it in the space, and the copywriter can then approach the client and say, look, we need XYZ to go here. That can help.
Yes, yeah. And I think it is important to kind of understand So, you know, the importance of high-res graphics and what constitutes a high-res graphic and what doesn't. Because otherwise, you kind of end up as a writer being this go-between between the designer and the client, asking for things that you're not really sure what it is you're asking for. And if the client isn't sure what you're asking for, then that can slow down the process as well.
Of course. And it's knowing whether the document's going to be printed, if it's going to be used on screen. I mean, sometimes you'll have to do a couple of different versions, the one that's optimised for screen and it looks nice and crisp and clear on a screen, or one that's got the appropriate page count if it's going to be printed or bound. So it's just good to know that. And yeah, there's usually just a couple of file formats we need. Obviously, the higher res the file, we can downsave it, we can convert it into one for screen. So usually just a really good sort of vector file or a high-end sort of TIFF or a JPEG is fantastic for images, because we know we can backsave that to work for screen. So if we tend to work to the highest end possible, know that we can move backwards, and it's easier than trying to have a one that's a little bit in between and trying to make it better, so to speak.
Yeah. So it's understanding things like that, understanding, you know, what a vector file is and how it's different. It's the kind of thing that writers are now having to get their heads around that we maybe didn't even have to think about before.
Yeah, we're probably, designers are probably a bit funny going, oh, you know, a vector file, one of those things.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So I think there are kind of terminologies that have to be learned between the kind of two disciplines, yeah.
I'd say the other thing that I guess when I think about copy and all that I used to work with is as designers, we can't stand things like double spacing after a period and things like that. And things like that really frustrate us.
Yeah.
And we always get copy with loads of double spacing in, and it's when we're asked to put them back in. Oh, no, we don't like it. And that makes the text look, it's got little rivers running through it and things.
Yeah.
That can be quite frustrating.
Because that's a kind of hangover from the old days of typewriting,
I think,
isn't it?
Yeah.
There was the double space after the full stop.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes when I'm reviewing other writing work, that, you know, you have to go through and take out all of these double spaces as well. And this is kind of asking you, I guess, live about this, because this is something I haven't had your feedback on before, but one of the things that I've started to do when putting together a Word document
mm-hmm.
is try to kind of mirror the layout of the page that I think the finished product is going to look like, by putting in text boxes and going, you know, this text is going to go here on the page and this image is going to go here on the page. But I don't know if that's a help or a hindrance to you, you know, when you come to flow in the copy, whether that works or not.
It's interesting to know where you see elements going. And I think you're almost wireframing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we know we have a grid we work to. We know we have X amount of columns that we're working with text, and we can make the text go over how many of those columns we want, depending on what we're saying and the layout and what's consistent with the rest of the pages. So it is a help, and it just gives us a good idea. And again, we talk about process and speeding that process up.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you. Because kind of very much moving towards that way, and almost getting to the limits of what Microsoft Word can do. And I'm kind of like looking around at the moment to see if there are any other tools out there that are more flexible for copywriters who are working with designers on these kind of like funky new formats.
Yes.
That we can use to kind of really plan what goes where on a page and what the important bits of copy are and where to pull them out.
I'm aware of things for web design that are sort of moving at the moment, where you can make individual elements and move them around. Mm. But where they work with copy and particularly live text that you can copy and paste and move around, I'm not so sure at present.
Yeah, I'm going to keep looking, because that's something that I'm really interested in having. Yeah.
Well, there's always something coming out, I think it's just being aware. Obviously things are getting cheaper as well. It used to be a ridiculous license fees for some software, and now there are open source equivalents that are just as good, and things, you know, different apps that you can get that work really, really well.
Cool. So if anybody listening knows of any kind of really flexible text editors for copywriters where you can move chunks of text around on the page, I'd be really interested to know about them.
That's not Microsoft Publisher.
I haven't looked at Microsoft Publisher.
I once had a sort of printer, and they said they had a designer come in to see them who had done some business cards, and the printer spent all day trying to open the file format, and eventually rang the client and said, well, what software did your designer friend use? And apparently he used Rugrats Print Studio. So...
Yeah.
The best format would be good.
So if I was going to summarise some of the ways in which copywriters and designers can work well together, I guess from what we've been talking about, it's kind of establish that trust, just build those relationships so you understand how each other works, and probably work in partnership when you're dealing with a client rather than working in a kind of one's leading and one's a subcontractor scenario.
I think so, yes.
And I guess beyond that, it's establishing a process that you can both agree on for, you know, giving feedback and mm-hmm. getting things completed quickly and to a good standard and within the deadline.
Yes. I mean, it's knowing how things kick off and then they say how amends come through and how best to interpret those amends. And I guess for me, something visual is much better really than a long ream of text.
Well, that's all we've got time for this episode of the Radix Copycast. Thanks again to Tim for taking time to podcast with us. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights. Goodbye.
Goodbye.